Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome back to Bad Movies Rule, the worst movie podcast ever recorded. And today we've got the Dr. Ryan Matala in the house, and Patrick Riley is here. I need a nickname for you. I'm your host, James Hauser. We're talking about Purgation. I would say Purge Nation, and that's not even the name of the movie. It's Purgation, people. We're talking about it today. And that voice you heard is our special guest today, Tyler. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
No, of course, man. We're happy that you're here. Purgation is a short, we call it horror.
Yeah, I've been calling it horror.
Okay, a short horror film that you shot here in Burlington.
Yep. Yeah, it was, majority of it was shot in my house, and then there are some outdoor sequences in and around the town.
That's awesome, man. And so Tyler is a local filmmaker. He's going to be having the debut, or we call it the premiere.
Yeah, it's going to be November 4th at 1 p.m. at the Plaza Theater in Burlington, which is right around the corner here.
Literally around the corner from our studio here. So we're excited for the opportunity to promote a local Burlington filmmaker and to get to hear a little bit about the movie itself and how it came about. But why don't we just start with you guys? Why don't we just start with you giving the listener some background on yourself and how you got into filmmaking?
So I came kind of late to it. I've always been a huge film fan from childhood. In high school and college, I took a bunch of film courses. I majored in English, though I didn't have a film major, didn't go to film school, anything like that. But I've always been a huge fan of films, always liked the idea of trying to make a film, but it just seemed like almost an impossible goal because so many moving parts, you know.
Yes.
I had no idea how to get started or how to do it, but I was writing short stories, and a guy that I knew was making short films, and I told him, hey, if you ever want to collaborate on something, write something together, and I gave him a bunch of short stories I had written, and we ended up turning one of those stories into a short film that he directed. And I went to set one of the days that they were shooting, and that was kind of it.
You were like, just
I got the bug. I was like,
this is the greatest thing ever.
It. Yeah, I have to figure out how I can do this for myself. And after that, this will be the third short that I've directed now. And I think, you know, each one has been a learning experience and sort of just teaching myself as I go.
So it sounded like before you even got into filmmaking, you were already a writer.
Yeah, I've always loved writing short stories, things like that. I was an English major, and that seems simpler because all you have to do is sit down in front of a computer and type it out as opposed to, you know, I had no idea where to even start with a film.
I don't know, a blank page is terrifying.
That's pretty intimidating.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I've written screenplays myself, and it's I think that's scarier than what we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. That's
just seeing
cool.
The cursor blink at you.
Yeah, right? Just like, oh, man. So what was that? So the first one you said your friend directed, what was that called?
That one was called Lakeshore Drive. Okay. That was more, it was kind of like a neo-noir type thing in black and white. Then I wrote and directed one called Tabernacle, which was another kind of noir type thing. Mm. The one I did before this was called The Maiden and the Knave, which is kind of a parody of like 20s, 30s silent horror films. It's got like the look of those films, but it's played for laughs. And then,
so is this your first foray into straight horror then?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Interesting. And so take us then into Purgation and how this story was conceived. What was the genesis of this story?
It's kind of a sad backstory, not to bring things down.
No, it's fine.
I had this cat, Hamlet, who I adopted when he was 11, and we had him till he was 17. And towards the end of his life, he had gotten very sick. He had a stroke. He wasn't able to use his back legs anymore. He had kidney problems. He had all these problems.
Yikes.
And eventually, you know, they all caught up with him and we had to say goodbye to him. And that, the, as weird as it sounds, it kind of came out of that, because to me, the film is mainly about dealing with grief and how grief can sort of consume you. And so, honestly, I think I worked through a lot of that grief writing and directing this film.
I think you could have gave me 1,000 guesses as to how this story was thought up, and the death of a beloved cat would never probably have made the list.
Yeah.
But as a cat person myself with 2 cats at home, I respect that.
Oh, thank you.
I do. And so the film is, I mean, it's a short film. It's only 15 minutes mm-hmm. long. Is this longer, shorter than what you've made previously?
The first one, Tabernacle, was like 22 minutes. Okay. Maiden and the Knave was like 9 minutes. So this is
right, all right
between there.
So do you ever see yourself wanting to start making full length?
Yeah, I'm actually brainstorming 2 more shorts, but then my goal after that is to maybe start thinking about a feature after that.
Okay. And I'm assuming that given the t-shirt that you're wearing, this is a certain genre that you're in love with?
Yes, which I do have to say, you guys were kind of hard on Frank Henenlotter for your Basket Case episode.
All right, look, Basket Case, you were on the Basket Case episode.
I was. I was one of the people that voted it as a good movie.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I agreed with your take on it.
Yeah, man. Look, that movie was messed up. Have you seen Basket Case?
Nope.
It was for sure messed up. I don't recommend people watch it, but it's a good movie.
Well, I will say Frankenhooker is his master.
Which I think we mentioned in the in the episode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We didn't?
I'm about 20 minutes in Frankenhooker. I had to take a break for about 12 weeks.
For about 12 That's a ringing endorsement. I've never once... After, now, there are people, you know, listeners of ours on our Discord and things that are very, very adamant that we watch Basket Case 2 and 3. Mm. Have you seen the sequels?
I've seen 2. I'm kind of saving 3. You know, I want it to
for
be
a special day.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
He's taking that little bit of a break in between. Yeah.
I will say 2, if you know, depending on how you felt about 1, you'll mm-hmm. probably feel the same way about 2.
Well, look, 1, Patrick, just I'll give you the 30-second version just so you don't feel totally out of the loop here. All right. A man has a little murder nugget in a basket that he carries around with him.
It's his brother.
It's his brother, who was previously a conjoined twin, which evil doctors sawed off to remove because they didn't want him to be a freak anymore.
And we mean literally nugget, like a chicken nugget flesh ball. That's yeah, what arms. It is, with arms.
Yeah. You ever think, you know, Meat Wad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
That's literally what he is.
Okay. Think of that, but with like a flesh around him as opposed to just rolling meat. And he gets thrown in the garbage, literally like next to the garbage can outside on the road, breaks out, crawls back, and they go on this murderous rampage to go find the 3 doctors and kill them forever, separating the 2 of them. So he carries his little brother murder nugget around in a basket. The movie's called Basket Case. Tell me you don't want to see that.
I don't.
I think you might be on the wrong show.
There are thousands of other movies I would watch ahead of that one.
That's true. That's true. All right.
Including industrial films on safety made in the 1970s.
Some of those slap, actually. You ever watch some of those?
Yeah. Remember, we talked about maybe doing one of those based off of our time
that.
In the bank.
I remember that. That would have been incredible.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, back to what we're talking about here. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned the fact that you got a Frankenhooker shirt on. I think that's awesome. Someday, maybe, when I'm not here, you guys can do Frankenhooker.
Well, we can do it on the other podcast.
Hey, you can do it.
Yeah, the patrons love horror so much, we started
do it on the horror reel.
Patreon horror reel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, exclusive horror podcast that Ryan and his wife.
I thought you were going to say the good movies rule.
Well, we have that too.
Well, let's not go that far.
That's a different thing. All right. So you have this backstory with Hamlet. This is how you came up with the movie. The movie itself stars a lone actress. It's just one person.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about her. How'd you meet her? How'd she get involved?
She's my sister-in-law.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she had never acted before in anything. She has no prior experience acting. But at our wedding, she was the maid of honor, and her maid of honor speech – she took Gangsta's Paradise and rewrote it and performed it in front of everybody at the wedding. And I was like, I can put her in a movie. She's got something.
You know, Weird Al got in trouble with Coolio for doing that.
That's true.
I mean, they finally buried the hatchet before Coolio died. But
right. Was this after he passed away? It was probably safe to do it then.
3 years ago? I'm not sure when he died.
Okay, I don't know. But you were playing with fire if that was right around that time.
You're just sitting there like, she's got it. I don't know what it is, but she's got it.
Yeah.
Did you have to convince her?
Well, I told her about the story, and then I kind of crafted the part for her because she had, much like my whole thing with Hamlet, she had recently been through a divorce as well. So I was like, let me write you a character that you can really sort of, you know, she's not exactly that character,
sure,
you know, or anything.
She's not playing herself.
No, but, you know, I sort of crafted the part to be something that she could identify with and sort of get into that headspace for the scenes and everything.
She really related to it. She's often had problems with her Echo devices.
Well, that I don't even know where the idea with the whole Bluetooth came from. I think I thought, oh, wouldn't that be kind of cool if your Bluetooth speaker started, you know, going crazy.
I will say, don't ever turn on Bluetooth in your house and see, because there's so many devices in your house. Like my coffee maker has Bluetooth, and so it'll show up, but it doesn't say what it is.
Right.
And so you will go around, like I went around my house one day. I kind of was freaked out when I was watching this. Like not freaked out, but just like, I was like, I relate to this a little bit because I spent an entire day one time trying to figure out what the Bluetooth devices were in my house. And it's kind of unnerving when you're like, I don't actually know what these are.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Connecting to something you don't know what it is.
There's this one the aliens put in my house.
Right, like who knows? I don't know.
Why does this one say CIA.gov? So...
Anal probe.
What? Don't connect.
Connected.
No! I think to get a little into the film without venturing too far into spoiler territory, and if we do, we'll warn the people at home. The movie itself is not going to be available for mass consumption for another year, you had told me.
Yeah, because after we do the premiere here in November, I do want to try submitting it to different festivals and see if we get any buzz that route.
Yeah,
and
sure.
A lot of them, you know, they don't want you to have it out there for free online for people to see because they want you to come to their festivals.
So. Yeah, a lot of people... And a lot of festivals, at least when I was going through the festival circuit with our films, this is, you know, 10 plus years ago, they want their festival to be the official premiere.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're like, well, great. When five festivals want it to be the premiere, how does that work? Only one can truly, right?
Thankfully, I've never had to juggle that.
Okay. Well, neither have we, not five, but. Have you had any festival success with your other films?
The problem with Tabernacle was I submitted it right before COVID, and then COVID happened, and all the festivals were like, we're postponing, we'll get back to you, we'll consider you next year, but... you know, I never really heard from any. The initial one that I wrote, Lakeshore Drive, that got into a couple Illinois festivals, but that's about it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, the film itself, it's, as I said, it's 15 minutes. Essentially, there's a lone woman who is the only one we see through the entire movie. Well, not the only one, but the only actress we see throughout the entire movie. It starts off with a long take on a phone call. And I think, at least for me, and I don't know how you guys felt about it, some confusion as to who or what she's discussing. It's probably on purpose left a little bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
So what's happening there?
Yeah, because I didn't even really want to directly say what happened with this relationship that she's sort of grieving over, exactly who it was or exactly what their relationship was. It felt right to do it that way.
Sure.
You know, but I can understand, you know, it might be a little, you know, you're thrown directly into that conversation. You're not even sure exactly who she's talking to on the other
end. Right, which can work. And sometimes it's good to withhold information and to hold some stuff back and to create that sense of uncertainty in the audience itself too, as well. And we pretty much follow this girl through, does the whole thing take place in a day, 2 days? It's not long.
Yeah, pretty much two, and then I think there's a third morning.
There's a third morning. Where we catch her on a drive for a while, right? And then we catch her, she's using her laptop in the kitchen. This is where she's having the issues with her. She's got like an Echo device, or I mean, you can't call it that, whatever. I think, do you have a sticker over the logo?
Yeah.
Is that exactly why that smiley face
yeah,
is there?
Yeah. But then I was like, I want to put something over it. But then I was like, what if I do like, you know, a HAL from Space Odyssey type of thing where you give it that face where it's like you can cut to it and it looks kind of menacing?
No, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think there's a sense throughout the film of expectation of some, I mean, because you know right off the bat, okay, this is a horror film. I think it says, you know, in the description that that's what it is. And so I don't enjoy horror films. Part of why I probably was mean to Basket Case and why when he said, oh, let's do another horror podcast, I was like, great, then I don't have to do them or
take
talk
it
about
and
them.
Go.
Take it and go. There was at least a sense of dread in me knowing, all right, it's some horror is going to happen at some point because that's what this thing is. And I thought to myself that it was just that, without getting to what happens ever, but the bathroom scene was one of the most horrific things I'd ever witnessed in my entire life.
Well,
the purpose?
I will say because there is a, I don't think this really spoils anything, but there is some gore at the end of the film, but shooting that bathroom scene, it was making me gag.
Watching it, Tyler.
It looked pretty realistic.
Yeah, that was the goal, because I'm like, let's do this in one shot. See how, like, if we can get a couple nice bursts of vomit.
Oh, nice. See how you phrase it? Nice bursts of, how did you feel watching the bathroom scene?
Effective.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I used to work in a group home, right? Like I had to look in the toilet to make sure if somebody was trying to say they were sick that they weren't lying. But I mean, I had a bigger problem just with her laying her face right where, like, inches from where the butthole goes.
I did clean the toilet.
Okay,
that's fine.
Before that,
I don't know if Formula 409 gets rid of permanent butthole though.
Well, hey, 99%.
There's still 1%.
That's right. Yeah,
she now that's how you get pink.
You want to be in the industry? This is what you do. That's how you get pink eye. That's hilarious.
It's true. It's true. I said, you know, you send her the script and you go, "How bad do you want it?" Right.
Well, I even told her, I'm like, "Hey, if you want to puke for real, feel free." But she wasn't that method about it.
All right. So is it dog food or?
No, it was. I used the recipe that Lloyd Kaufman of Troma Films, his vomit recipe, which is just, it was lentil soup diluted with a little bit of water to give it, you know. But hilariously, so we put it.
It looked real.
We put it into a glass and she brought it into the bathroom, and my wife and I have a dog. And while we're setting up the scene, the dog came in and took a nice big lick off the top of the cup.
Perfect.
And we all kind of stopped because we only had two cans of soup, and this was the first can, and I'm like, Do you want to use? And she's like, no, it's fine.
Wow.
Whoa, what a trooper.
All right,
so
again, let's go.
Dogs lick their own buttholes. And now just dragged it through the lentil soup.
Just this is the first take.
Slurp it down.
That's hilarious. Just put the dog, we know what dogs are. You walk past, like, what's up? Is that vomit you got there? They love eating vomit. He probably thought it was real vomit.
Yeah.
That's why he licked it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Dogs are all about that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Because I got to tell you, man, there's not many movies. I mean, Basket Case, this didn't happen. Where I literally am, I'm sitting back in my chair. I'm now averted my eyes. Right? And every time I look back, it's another, and I'm like, stop. I literally, no one's in the room. I'm speaking to myself. And I'm just going, stop. That's enough. All right. Okay.
Well,
all right.
Even in like big budget Hollywood movies, some of the vomit looks so fake.
It does.
Know, you only get one blast. Terrible.
No, it was
horrifying.
It was cool,
which I think is a compliment.
Thank you. I'll take it as one. I'll certainly take it like that.
I will say that it was cool that it was all in one shot, that you were able to, you know, she throws up, you pan down and pan back up, and she throws up again. Yeah, that was good.
It's good stuff, but do we need the shot into the toilet at the end of it? Is that absolutely necessary?
That's plot critical.
That shot was not in the shot list, but after I looked into the bowl, I was like, let's get a shot of that.
Yeah, see, you and Patrick apparently like looking at vomit in toilets.
First of all, I was paid. to do that.
Yeah, I don't want everybody to think there's nothing but vomiting. There's other, no, you know.
There's other stuff. I'm just, this is the scene that affected me the most. Even more than the ending, which obviously is its own thing, which we'll ask a general question about here in a second. But that by far was the scene that impacted me the most, was that one.
James,
I'll take it.
Yeah. Show me where on the Funko that the vomit touched you.
It's traumatizing, man. But I think that's probably what you were going for, Tyler. At least I hope so. Otherwise, that's just mean.
Yeah, I think it worked as intended.
Good. So I know we're venturing into spoiler territory here. And so even though we're going to be talking about it in a general sense, if you want to avoid spoilers, skip ahead into the episode. But why? Why? Like, all right, so obviously what happens, but I guess, I don't mean this to be rude anyway, but at the end, the movie ends and I still am like, what was that?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was interesting and unexpected, which is always a good thing, but I don't know if you guys felt differently, but I immediately wanted to email you and go, all right, please explain it to me, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because some people love ambiguous endings. Mm. I'm just not one of
them. Are you talking the very, very end or like the whole ending sequence?
No, because there's the light coming through the window, mm-hmm. right? That's not so, but so much what happened before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so to get to, you know, my original idea for the whole film is it's about grief, the grieving process, how grief can sort of... Mm. consume you and the stuff that takes place in the base. That's why I tried to create the separation between the stuff that happens upstairs in her house and the stuff that happens in the basement. Very different lighting and things like that.
Yes.
So she there's the two dream sequences in the film where she wakes up, she imagines this figure.
There's a figure.
And
played by the same actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then when she goes down into the basement, mm-hmm. she's sort of crossing over into that world.
Mm.
And it is stylized and it's almost surreal, I guess you could say. But
definitely.
It's sort of my attempt at, you know, showing in a violent, graphic, horror movie kind of way.
Accurate.
how you know, if you let grief, you know, just because that's it, like with Hamlet, it's like it was very difficult for me to sort of not move past it, but to get to a place where I could be okay with things. And so, you know, this is sort of the opposite of that, where, you know, she takes it to the most extreme possible conclusion, where this grief, it, you know, ends up being her undoing.
Literally. Yeah. Well, I think it's certainly horrific the way it happens. I don't know how much else I could say without spoiling anything. So I'll maybe just wait till after we're done to ask you the specific question I want to ask you. But I definitely think people should see it for themselves.
Yeah.
Overall, so I guess we'll just talk in general terms, and I'll give you guys a chance here to share your feelings. Just your overall thoughts on the film itself. I think, you know, we can give give it a rating or whatever, especially we got Tyler sitting here right next to us, so, you know, be nice. But if you hate it, tell him you hate it, I guess. Sorry,
yeah, that's
Tyler.
Fine. No, that's fine.
You did come on a podcast called Bad Movies Rule.
Yeah, no. So that's my own fault.
I'll preface it by saying this, Tyler, that I understand that because for me, I always just wanted people to have a reaction of some kind. Love it, hate it, whatever. Were you affected by it emotionally in some way? That's a win for me. So, mm-hmm. Ryan, what were your thoughts on
So overall, I did like the gore, and I liked the throw-up scene. I will say that, you know, you said you've made three short films, mm-hmm. and I think it's the type of thing where there's learning through every time you do something like this, right? And so I think there's, I don't want to come off like corporate-y or whatever, but I think there's a lot of opportunities for you to improve your filmmaking and everything. So I think that probably, I haven't seen your other stuff, but I think it's probably a mile marker for you continue to improve.
Mm. Yeah, I think
I'm trying not to be like mean or anything either. Like,
no, you're not.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it it's an improvement on the last two as well. Sure. And, you know, it's certainly not perfect by any means, but...
Right, with no frame of reference, if we haven't seen your other stuff, mm-hmm. we could say, okay, there's clearly you're going up by steps each time.
Yeah. Right, you
know
what right, I mean? Right.
Exactly.
It's hard to know because I haven't seen... I can't go back and look at the first stuff I made. I think it's dog crap. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right? Yeah. So well, like, every time I just try to get a little better each yeah. time.
You know well,
I mean?
And I'll also say, like, you kind of touched on it. Like, with when you're making a film, it's not just... okay, I'm writing the script, or I'm pointing the camera, or I'm doing the audio, or I'm doing what kind of score are we doing for it, or what kind of this or that or the next thing. It's like there's 87 things you're doing, and you're an amateur in all of these areas.
Yeah.
And so there's only so much that you're going to be able to accomplish as a single person doing all this.
Wearing
right?
five hats. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It just is what it is. But it's yeah. like I'd say, you know, props to you for doing it, putting it out there, and it's like this is just – a stepping stone for you then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Pat, how'd you feel?
I'll preface it by saying I'm not your intended demographic. Okay. I am. Horror films just don't do it for me.
Mm. Well, you did say you had the vomit experience, though, you know?
Well, right. So, but part of that experience is also, you know, mental health experience. And so my ears perk up on stuff like that quite a bit. And I get, you know, maybe a little bit sensitive about the way that mental health and people facing mental health challenges are portrayed in media, because it does do a lot to impact the stigma, and the stigma can be one of the things that prevents somebody from getting help. Mm. You know, so, you know, ultimately, yes, grief is a big thing. There was the extra moment of, you know, the medication and the bottle is empty and like leaving this ominous feeling like, oh my God, this person didn't take their meds. Everything is going to go to hell now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, I'll be honest, just kind of turned me off to begin with, just because of the fact that I think that there's, you know, some messaging there. Mm-hmm. But of course, not everybody is going to take that message the same way, right?
I'll say my wife's a therapist.
Yeah.
She okay. produced the film.
So, but for me, that was one of the things, you know, just to kind of, you know, that honed me in. But, you know, I'll echo, you know, what Ryan was just saying too, like, a lot of people out there have books and movies and paintings in their head, and they never get in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they're constantly on the sideline talking about this great thing that they're going to do. Mm. And I think one of the things that does prevent people from doing it is the fear that it won't be met with praise, that it won't right. be your perfect vision.
Yeah.
And so I do give you a lot of credit for talking about, like, hey, you know what? First one. Second one, third one, like I'm improving. And I think yeah. at the same time, you know, taking that opportunity to take the feedback, learning from it, and building on as you progress. I mean, it's the same thing that we do in anything. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure if we looked at game footage of, you know, NFL players from when they were in high school, even like the game just was too fast for them and they slowly had to get better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest compliment that I could give you, Tyler, is that the movie is worth watching. There's so much stuff that we've seen where it's like, it's not even worth turning it on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yoga hosers.
And so yoga hosers.
I agree with you there.
and so I think it's interesting enough to warrant a viewing. So people that are out there listening, when it is available, we'll certainly post it out there. Once it is, you let me know when it's time. I don't want to jump the gun. Definitely. And, we'll share it out to the audience. You guys can all see purgation.
It's close. Purgation. It's real close, James.
Understanding that like Patrick, I don't love horror movies, but I like characters, and I thought that there was some interesting stuff going on, and I think, like I said, I think it's worth watching. And just, yes, exactly what these guys said, so many people don't ever do it, man. I understand what it takes to just get it from your head to the paper to the camera to the editing bay to the audience. Mm-hmm. And so respect to you for doing that, man.
100%.
And I don't want to see your other stuff. If there's a way you can send it to me, send it to me, because I definitely didn't watch it and go, I hope this guy never sends me another thing ever again, because that's not the level that you're at. And I'm sure that the next thing you'll do will be even better, man. And there's some very interesting stuff going on here. So I would recommend that people watch it for themselves and see, especially people that are into this kind of stuff. So that's why I hesitate to offer my take as a definitive take in any way, shape or form, because there's people that, you know, we make this show for that is in their wheelhouse, and the other people I know would listen to what we do and hate it. Same thing. You make this, and the people that are into this kind of stuff are going to think it's awesome. Yeah. Right. And that's who it's for, man. And so if you guys are into this kind of stuff, you know, if you are, check it out, man. And I just want to say again, thanks for coming in, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. This has been fun.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll watch Basket Case 2 or 3. I don't know.
Give Frankenhooker a shot.
No, I'm letting Ryan do that. Ryan's going to take that bullet for me. We'll see.
I'll get through it and I'll let you know, James.
Yeah. Do you have a social media or something where people can follow your exploits from here on out?
I really should, shouldn't I?
You should.
Yeah. I have a personal.
Your personal. Well, don't give that out.
Yeah.
Get it set up. Let us know, and then we'll share it out.
We'll share it out, man. If you've got like a film, you know, production company or something that you're going to start doing your stuff, or a YouTube channel or any of that, man, we'll get that out there for the people. But in the meantime, appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ryan, thanks, Patrick. Man.
And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.